This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, yeah, it's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. We have a divisional round headlines here. And one team not in the divisional round, but they are in the Football Friday news, is the Lions and running back Adrian Peterson. We'll get you the story on that. We'll recap the time that Baker and Patty met in college. Okay, we got a lot. We got a lot of good angles here for you.
I remember that game. Holy cow!
Get thoughts on that segment here of the G Bag Nation. It's pure gold as always. Thanks for asking. Mike Fisher's coming up here in 20 minutes. Yes, I do feel horrible for Adrian Peterson after reading this story. I'm sure everything's going to work out just fine for the gentleman. He is a sports superstar, and the sports world's going to take great care of him. He's not going to go hungry or anything like that. But, man, ordered to pay $8.3 million in a New York Supreme Court for unpaid vehicle loans. D'Angelo Vehicle Sales sued him back in 18.
What was that number?
$8.3 million. Yes, they sued him in 2018. He failed to pay back an initial sum of 5.2. So it started at 5.2, but there was 16% interest, and that's been accruing. And yesterday they had another hearing in this lawsuit. Peterson wasn't there. He had no representation, so he's just bailing on it. I'm like, so I don't know. His attorney had withdrawn himself from the case. It is a 3-year-old lawsuit. I hope his handling of it is part of a bigger strategy. Like, we're just going to let these things go, and then we'll do bankruptcy or something like that. But he did make $1.2 million with the Lions this year. He's made over $102 million for his career. But, yeah, about $5 million in auto loans went unpaid a few years back, and there had been a lawsuit going against him.
Wait, does it say there what kind of car he got?
What do you what?
Need? I think
what?
We're probably driving multiple cars here.
Definitely wasn't a 4Runner.
Yeah, can we play Can we play the game? How many cars was it? Like, how many do you... What gets you to 5.2 million?
Ridiculous.
I mean, even assuming that you're getting $200,000 and $300,000 cars, it's going to take you 15 to get to $5.2 million loaned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, growing up, it was like the cars were in the low hundred thousands. I think they may have jumped into the low millions, though. Lucius, you're a big car guy. Looks like we have a Zenvo ST1 at $1.2 million.
Yeah, you got a few million-dollar cars out there, but I mean, good God. I don't think this man – I don't think you should be buying multiple cars that are in the millions of dollars.
And do you buy them all at
you
once?
You get one. You get one Bugatti or something like that. You don't get multiples and multiples unless you got multiple streams of income producing you millions of dollars.
You think he spent the majority of his career in Minnesota, too? That part of the country is really hard on cars if you're out there driving around.
Get your damn Hummer or something.
Yeah,
out there.
That's what I'm saying. You need something, a big truck or something like that to deal with all the road salt and things like that that you're dealing with up there.
Can we play a game here? Okay, I'm Adrian Peterson. I came to you for the first car.
Wasn't he already in some weird debt? Sorry, but...
Yes, yes, you're right. And at least that's what I'm thinking in my brain is, and I don't remember.
I think they're the same story. Yeah, I think things were going bad for him. And, you know, this was 3 years ago the lawsuit was presented. So 2015, 2016, top of the world, still $12 million.
Okay.
Overextended.
All right, so let's start here. You're going to be the guy who I'm going to get the car from. On my good word that I'm going to pay you later, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Carman, Adrian Peterson, I'm sure you know that. I'd like to get the Bugatti, all right? Is that cool? Great.
Yeah.
I'll pay you later. I take my Bugatti, right?
$3.4 million, according to this website.
Okay, so now I still got to get $2 million in here somehow. So 6 months later, I haven't paid you, and I roll back in there, and I'm like, man, really enjoying the Bugatti. Also, let me get a pick the next car.
The How'd Ferrari one, F60. Yeah.
How'd that 2. One get 5. Off the lot if I hadn't paid you
yet? I don't
know.
I don't know what kind of terms that is, what kind of financing you go through right there. And why, if you were making so much money, you wouldn't just pay $1 million or $2 million for the vehicle. I think, you know, at that point, you're really asking.
Are you Adrian Peterson, are you going in there and negotiating that, or is that somebody going in and doing it for you?
I don't know. I know nothing about this world. I'm just saying, though.
I mean, I wonder if that's one of those things where, like, you know, maybe he's going to blame a business associate. Like, listen, I drove the cars, but I didn't realize what the tag was.
He was making
on
moves in my name?
Yeah. I don't know. That's just a total speculation. But I don't think Adrian Peterson would be going there negotiating for cars. I think somebody would be handling that for him.
No, that's tough. And the amount's going up now still by 9%. So, I mean, many people have done the I'm going to ignore the mail because it's bad news and I don't want to look at the bills. And I just hope that's not what is happening, because this is going to grow and grow and grow and get worse and worse and worse. And, you know, again, I'm sure at the end of the career you can file bankruptcy. Once you do get your arms around it, you go to Norman or Palestine or DFW and you help somebody sell cars or whatever it is. I mean, his name, his likeness, it's going to be a cash cow for him for life. It's just, it's a horrible look, and it's a tremendous waste of money. I mean, he's cost himself an additional $3 million by just not showing up for the court.
You know what you
lawsuits.
Can do with $3 million in Palestine, Texas? $8 million in Palestine, Texas?
You can buy a neighborhood?
Yeah, it's Adrian Peterson, Texas at that point.
yeah. So, anyway, best of luck to AD. I was trying to do a deep dive on these divisional games, learned some interesting stuff. Mina Kimes had pointed out in her podcast, if there's a weakness for the Rams defense, it's play action. They're 24th in the NFL in QBR against play action. They're 32nd in average yards of separation. When defending the play action, their corners are just getting toasted. So the Packers have been using a heavy dose of that, not only under center, but under the gun as well. They're first and second in the NFL in that. And they have changed to doing even more of it since Thanksgiving. So it appears to be the scheme wrinkle that has the biggest opportunity to impact this game and perhaps put the Rams defense in a position to be exploited.
That's interesting, because so it's – not only are you the underdog, but your number one defense in the league, the thing that you don't do so well, the best quarterback in the league is coming to town and they do it great.
Yeah, that's all they do. Yeah, that's what they do better than anybody. And you're an awesome defense, but for some reason you're horrible at that, Brian.
Yeah, but if you're Staley, though, going into this game, you know that, right? I mean, you're like, listen, we're going to get a heavy dose of play action here. And, I mean, is it something you can correct? Obviously, that's who you are. You know, so how do you play around that? You know, we're not going to correct that in one game. You know, now maybe at the end of the day, if they win, it's going to be like they're going to stand there and go, "Man, we were really good against the play action pass today." You know, and we hadn't been good all. We hadn't been good all year, but man, we were good today. I don't know. I think you have to scheme around that. If you know you're going to be bad, you better come up with a wrinkle that they haven't seen. You know, I mean, you at least know that you're not good at play action. You better come up with something that Aaron Rodgers, and that in itself is going to be hard to do.
I think you just tell your defense, hey, guys, bad news. Yeah. Play action, we're not so good. Stop moving forward.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll tackle the runner after he has the ball, all right? Let's make sure he has it. The end.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to determine the game, right? I think the Rams will probably have some pretty good answers, and maybe that was by design, like we'll leave ourselves hanging out, but we're going to lock down all of this other stuff.
Hey,
you flip something with the approach.
I'm attacking off the side that would be the Packers' left side with no David Bakhtiari there. I am overloading that side over there. I'm bringing slot blitzes. I'm bringing everything pressure off the corner. I'm making the backs have to play in this game. You know, don't let Aaron Rodgers see it. Bring it from behind where he can't see it. That's where I think that the Rams are going to do some of their damage. But I'd take advantage of no David Bakhtiari at left tackle in this one for sure.
All right, elsewhere, divisional round storylines, Ravens and Bills. Bill Polian, former Bills and Colts GM, this week saying Josh Allen nowhere near his ceiling as a quarterback. And, man, you can be bullish on Josh Allen, but I think the strong take might be this has been a great year. He might not ever play this well again. And, wow, maybe he will continue to get better. But this is already MVP level. How could anybody playing at an MVP level not be close to their ceiling? Gentlemen, you have the floor.
I don't know. Because I think, to me, it would be really awesome if you were a Bills fan and what you were told is, hey, the Josh Allen that you saw this year, that progression, that's him. Permanent.
That's real. Yeah, I'd be
You'd
ecstatic.
Be ecstatic. You would be thrilled. And, I mean, I guess, look, he's young, and a lot of quarterbacks are going to get better and better as they go up to probably 7-8 years. So, yeah, I guess realistically you could say he could get better, but surely it's going to be incremental, not a leap.
Here's the other thing on it. With a running player, we saw with Cam Newton, when you're getting to the age where the game is slowing down and you're playing chess, not checkers, what gave you an edge and allowed the extra space for you to exploit in the passing game is diminishing. And it's really tough while you're depending on those legs to also be developing that awareness and quick decision-making to exploit the passing game like that in your 30s. And then has your body held up? Are you still, you know, healthy enough to play the position? What do you think, Brian? I know you've been bullish on Josh Allen yourself.
No, I do feel like, though, that what will be interesting for him going forward is we obviously know that he will prepare. He'll do whatever he has to do to get better at his craft. He'll identify things that he wasn't good at. If they lose Brian Daboll as the offensive coordinator, will that mess him up? Is that a part of his development? Him, Ken Dorsey, the quarterback coach, are those the things that he's leaning on? And if all of a sudden now, you know the work ethics there, but if they change scheme or they change philosophies or ideas, is that the thing that's going to take him back and then he's going to have to rebuild? Maybe that's what Polian's talking about. He maybe feels like that, hey, he's going to lose a guy here. We'll see if he could get better going forward here as they make changes.
I think Polian might have been really positive on Allen as well coming out of the draft, so – you know, maybe this is him patting himself on the back a little bit and saying,
"Well, yeah, he's an old Buffalo. He's an old Buffalo guy, so he's going to make Buffalo fans feel good about what they're seeing." Yes,
he built some good teams. Then he lost it, right? He get lost in the times or something a little bit.
He built some good teams. He built some good teams at Carolina too. He's always been very, very good. Boy, him and Ron Wolf used to hate each other, and because he was always winning the Executive of the Year. And Ron's like going, what the hell has he ever done? And I'm like, that's a pretty good team in Buffalo there. And I'd say it under my breath. I wouldn't say, I used to be very combative with people. But that time I kind of kept my mouth shut. But I kept thinking, team in Buffalo is pretty good.
He was hating, man.
Yeah. But there's a lot of hating going. Polian has done some hating in his day, too.
Casserly and Polian both have done some hating.
Yeah, Dr. Peepers has done some hating, too.
What has he done? Seriously. That is a hating question right there. Yeah. What has he ever done?
I'd hate to answer that question.
Yeah, that's my damn award. Yeah. Let's go to Chiefs and Browns. Game with a lot of local interest. National headline. Mahomes and Mayfield once faced off in a college football classic.
Boy, it was a glorious game, too.
Depending on what kind of football you like, it was either the greatest game ever played or the worst game ever played, because some people want it to be 3-0.
Fell in love with Joe Mixon that night.
Oh,
him
my
play.
God, Mixon went off.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted Joe Mixon on my team after that one.
The teams combined for a record 1,708 yards of offense. 1,279 passing yards. Mahomes set an FBS record with 734.
And he lost.
88 pass attempts. Mayfield set an OU record with 7 touchdown passes, leading the Sooners to a 66-59 victory. Mahomes and Mayfield remain friends and have known each other since high school. So, yeah, it was 2016 as Mayfield led the Oklahoma Sooners to Lubbock to face Patrick Mahomes and Texas Tech in a Big 12 epic for the ages.
Hold on, I'm trying to get the box score because there's some other fun stat lines.
Oh, no, there's
Joe Mixon, 31 carries, 263 yards,
there you go.
And 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Had a couple of catches, too, didn't he, for
Mixon
a touchdown?
Mixon caught 4 passes for 114 yards and 3 touchdowns.
There you go. That's the day I fell in love with Joe Mixon.
DeeDee Westbrook had 202 yards and 2 touchdowns. The funny thing is at Tech, when you say, hey, Pat Mahomes is going to have 734 yards, like, what would you think his top receiver would have? You'd think it would be something stupid, right?
Yeah, at least 200.
172, 167, 99, 75, 68, 49, 40. He just got it to everyone.
Oh, who's open now? Let's go.
Kiki Kuti was their number one.
Well, chances are they're not going to put on that kind of a show, but heck, don't be surprised if they total 700-800 yards between the two of them and you get quite a bit of entertainment. Are you buying Baker Mayfield now? You think this is him evolving, or he's probably just on another hot run, right?
I have to hesitate to buy because I bought originally, and then after his second year, people called me stupid face, so now I have to be real careful here. But he's been playing really good football. Now they got a good line, and they're able to run the ball. Not that stuff where you're like, hey, you got to run the ball so you can throw. No, they run it really well, so they're able to help him out in that way. But he's playing really good football.
Yeah, I think that Kevin Stefanski deserves a lot of credit. And that just shows you last week, primary play caller not in the building, and look what they were able to do. Pittsburgh played bad. We all understand that. But give the Browns a lot of credit for not practicing basically all week and going out and winning a playoff game like that. They got my respect. I think they got a shot, like I said, at Kansas City. I really do.
All right, what you need to know about the Cowboys and the Mavs as Cowboys head into the weekend, Mavs head into a game tonight in Milwaukee. Mike Fisher set to join us next in the G-Bank Nation. Yes, sir, welcome back, Nation. It's time for Mike Fisher to join us. He is at Fish Sports on Twitter. Segment's brought to you by MyComputerCareer.com. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels, 214-333-3333, or go online to truckwreck.com. As Fish steps in here on the Buyer's Barricade Hotline. How the heck are you, Fish?
Good afternoon, boys. General, you know, chicks dig the long ball. You're familiar with that, right?
I do. Yeah, I've heard that.
And then the quarterbacks get the date. They used to say the quarterback gets the date a cheerleader, but actually the quarterback gets to date all the cheerleaders if he wants to. And yet, I thought we'd take a minute today to talk about defense, shall we?
Defense.
What do those guys get to do?
Huh?
We're going to do – they don't – they get to do – they get to go to Super Bowls if they do it right, and they get to go to – and win NBA playoff appearances if they do it right too. So let's do Mavericks first because I think this is rather stunning. Have you guys looked at the defensive ratings for the Mavericks? Again, it's super early and blah, blah, blah. They're like first and second in all the categories.
Yeah.
Now, General, when did that happen?
This offseason, Fish.
Yeah, it was a point of emphasis for the team coming in.
Yeah, Fish. Like,
yeah, we brought in Josh Richardson, Willie Cauley-Stein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rick talked about it a bunch. Yeah.
He talked about it for the second half of last year, and nobody listened. And then they made acquisitions of people that make their living that way. And then one more thing happened. Luka happened. And if you remember, Carlisle came on 105.3 The Fan about 2 weeks ago, and we asked him about conditioning, Sean and I, involving Doncic, and it was just brilliant what he said. Because there is a way to say it where you insult the guy. There's also a way to say it where you baby the guy. And what Rick said is, what Luka needs to understand is that greatness is a year-round proposition.
Love
meaning
it.
You got to take everything seriously all the time. And they've talked about how Luka in his life before he came here, that, oh, no, when he wanted to put out on defense, first of all, again, he's bigger and stronger and smarter than everybody and quicker than everybody. So he can play defense. Well, I think these players, you're right, Brian, the roster has changed a little bit. But these players now are starting to listen and starting to realize you can't – just because you can score 150 points, if you're giving up 151, it's not going to get you anywhere. So we're now looking at – go ahead, General.
They've done a great job. I don't – are you buying that it's this good? I thought they were going to make those moves and try harder and maybe go from 20th to 8th or something to be 1 or 2. This is exceptional. And the sample size on games is growing. Porzingis being in there is only going to help. It's only going to make it better.
Yeah.
So it is really getting exciting now because we're starting to see their plans are coming together.
Well, and what Rick said last night is when Luka and KP both buy in, then everybody else falls in line. And he reminded us, of course, we don't have one cornerstone franchise superstar player. We have two. And now we have two of them on the floor. We'll see them again tonight at Milwaukee against, as Rick called him, the monster, Giannis. And yeah, effort on both sides of the floor and intensity on both ends of the floor. And General, you're right. Is this the second best team in basketball defensively? Really? No. No. Is there going to be a little bit of a roller coaster and they'll lose three straight games? Well, maybe not three, since I don't think they did that all last year. But they'll lose a couple
why,
games.
Why don't
in
you
a row.
Think they're one of the best teams on defense, Mike?
The personnel, the front line personnel isn't great on defense.
Luka and like KP aren't great players?
I didn't say they're not great players. They're great players.
But that's their front-line players, right?
Yeah. The Kristaps Porzingis, I mean
he was playing well on defense even when Luka was out last year. We remember, like, at times in the bubble, you know, him playing around the rim, the rebounds, the stuff like that, the length, the block shots. I mean, yeah, if anybody's bought into defense, it's Luka's the one that's bought into playing defense.
As opposed, you're saying, in terms of making a change from before. Yeah. I guess my level of greatness is, you know, none of these guys, I don't think anybody in this roster has ever made first, second, or third team all-NBA defense. That's 15 guys, and nobody's ever made it. Wouldn't that be something if Luka was third team all-NBA defense? That'd be cool. And then Josh Richardson probably capable of that, and I guess Porzingis is too. But what I'm saying is, thinking, but well, James Johnson he's an extra guy. Dorian Finney-Smith plays defense, but I would not predict that this is going to be an elite defensive team. I'm with General. Basically, I'm saying if they're the eighth best defensive team in basketball, then they have a chance to make real noise in the playoffs because they're one of the top two offensive teams in basketball, and I think 2+8 adds up to playoff wins.
You know, I just think this is where Rick's coaching is really going to shine here, as you're taking guys who individually have not been premier defenders or recognized as such, as you pointed out, but you put them together, the positioning, the communication, this is where it can really shine, and it's not individual defense. I don't think Porzingis and Luka are good individual defenders, but you can use what they can do, strength, length, and then pair them with some good individual defenders. And as it comes together, dude, if this scores for the entire year in the top five, they're going to have a real chance to win the championship. You know, this is a massive storyline. I think the biggest storyline is, how real is this defense? And after 72 games, how close are they going to be to these metrics that they're hitting right now? That's what's hanging in the balance right now, Fish. A real-life contender taking shape.
Yeah. In the case of KP, he's a 7'3" guy who's athletic. So that's, yeah. I mean, you're made to be a shot blocker. So that's powerful defense. And then Luka, and I'd be surprised if somebody hasn't already told him this, but go look at Jason Kidd at the end of his career. Mavericks win a title. Jason Kidd couldn't cover water bugs anymore defensively as he once could. But at 6'4" and 200+, He would throw people around. So he was guarding wings, and he was just wrestling with them. And Luka Doncic can out-wrestle anybody, any perimeter guy. And so there's some techniques that Luka can use to get even better. But the bottom line, and Brian, here's the transformation. Last year in the bubble, and you're right, they talked about it. It's true. Last year, 14 games in the bubble, the Mavericks allowed 130 points plus six times. And twice they gave up 150.
Yeah.
Okay, now here we are in half of the 10 games this year, they've allowed 100 points or less. So they're holding you under 100 points half the time. Now you're not playing the same teams and all that kind of stuff. All that's true.
But they're playing some good teams. They've beaten Miami. They've beaten Orlando. Yeah. They've beaten Denver. I mean, they've beaten some good teams. It's not like they're playing the bottom of the division teams. They're not
playing the
Pistons and people like that every night.
So the transformation is in the numbers. And then here's another thing, and this is an old coaching thing. And Brian, you've heard that. You guys have all heard this maybe your whole lives. If when the coach or a teacher, if he tells you, hey, listen, Jeffrey, if you'll do A, B, and C, I can almost guarantee you your reward's going to be 1, 2, 3. You know what I'm trying to say? If you run this route this way, Jeffrey, we will get the ball to you. You will be open, and you will score a touchdown. Then when it happens, then you're going, man, this coach knows what he's talking about. Well, that's what's happening to the Mavericks defense now. They are doing what Carlisle's telling them to do, and it's paying off, which causes them to buy in even more. Hopefully, again, that translates to Milwaukee tonight. Now, can we play the same game for the Cowboys?
Absolutely.
The Cowboys have been to 8 Super Bowls. In each of the 8 Super Bowls, those teams, those years, ranked in the top 10 defensively in yards allowed and points allowed. It would suggest to you that if you're the Cowboys, you better find a way to be you can't be third on offense and 25th on defense and go to the Super Bowl. Cowboys history says you can't. Now let's look at this year's playoff teams or this year's top-ranked defensive teams. The Rams, number one. Ravens, number two. Steelers are gone. Washington's gone. New Orleans, number five. Miami, not in it. New England, not in it. Tampa Bay is alive. Giants gone. So maybe somebody breaks that. You know, the Chiefs are the overall number 16 defense in football. I think, do most of us think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl?
I do.
That's a smart bet, right? For a lot of reasons. And so maybe they'd be the aberration. Well, we're incredible on offense and we get by on defense. The Cowboys haven't had a top 10 ranked defense in 25 years.
Let me take that back,
except for 5 times. So in 25 years, they've had a top 10 defense 5 times. Brian, that's once every 5 years you're good on defense. That's not good. That's not near good enough. And so my question for the panel is that a fluke or a philosophy? Is it because we're saying, we don't really need safeties and defensive tackles, and we'll just put old Joe back there at linebacker. Meanwhile, let's load up on offense and stars and offensive linemen and quarterbacks. I think there's got to be something to that philosophically. It can't be a 25-year accident.
I guess technically you could say that's somewhat philosophical, but they've invested picks, not so much money, but they've invested some picks that just haven't really panned out for them. And I think what they're really focusing on, and it's most teams, because for all you're saying about defense, I'm pulling up the top offenses in the league this year.
Yeah.
Green Bay, Buffalo, Tampa, Tennessee won their division. New Orleans, Kansas City, Baltimore. That's the top 7, and 6 of those are in the last 8 standing. So, you know, once you've established we can play offense, then you can kind of look around and be like, all right, now who can play some defense too? And that's a team that can win.
Jeffrey, since you have the numbers, what was Kansas City on defense last year? You have the numbers available.
2019 regular season. I'm on offense, but I can get that for you in 2 seconds. Kansas City was somewhere around 16 to 18, middle of the road.
Mm-hmm. Same as this year, huh? Yeah. So maybe you could be so special that you get up and over that obstacle, but it seems to me that some level of balance, because every once in a while the ball is going to bounce sideways on you on offense, and it would really help. This is why I like the Washington football team's future. They can have things go bad for them, but their defense, I think, is going to do what it did last year, which is keep them alive. And that to me, that's why Washington's scary. I'm not saying that defense is more important than offense. I'm not saying, defense wins championships. Not necessarily that. But I think there is a magic formula there, and I think the Cowboys have spent 25 years not finding it.
Okay, to your point then, you don't think it's important or you do think it's important? Because I felt like that we're leading here were saying that they're awful on defense, and that's why they're not in the Super Bowl.
I don't know. I'm not sure. You're talking about the Chiefs or the Cowboys?
No, I'm talking about the Cowboys. I thought you led with the Cowboys, haven't done anything on defense in 25 years.
No, to be super clear, if you're only going to be good on defense once every 5 years, you are not going to the Super Bowl. And my suggestion is maybe you're not taking defense seriously enough because you're caught up in the star and the glitz and the silver and blue and the helmets. And they once upon a time, Brian, you were there. They didn't have a problem giving up 2 first-round draft picks for a wide receiver.
It was the most asinine thing I've ever done.
They'd never give up 2 first-round picks for a safety.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
I think that suggests that the love of the offensive glitz is overriding the importance of the defensive grit.
I think it's partially philosophical for sure.
The last 10 years, that's the Jason Garrett administration. You know, when you talk about, I think there's some things he's done that were good that were evaluation-wise, But for 5 years or so, you allowed a defensive line coach dictate defensive players that you were taking. Matter of fact, he wanted nothing to do with Jalen Ramsey because he felt like that Ezekiel Elliott would help the defense, you know, stay off the field.
In fact, Brian, and you know this, this organization, I think this might prove the point that I think we all agree on. This organization so much loves offense over defense that they had tags touching, right, on Ramsey and Zeke. And even the defensive coaches like
Zeke. Well, no, that's what I was just saying. Yeah. Yeah. I just said that. Yeah.
All righty, Fish. We got to run, man. Have a great weekend. Go Mavs, and we'll catch up with you on Tuesday.
Thanks, boys.
He is at Fish Sports on Twitter. Yeah, got to run. I think the one of the really interesting stats about defense is it's been the scoring defense. You have to have a top 10
right.
for like two decades
right.
straight.
Right.
The total defense, you can be down in the teens or something. But Kansas City was 10th last year.
In scoring defense?
Yeah, and they're 10th this year.
There you go. There you
Even though they're giving up two more points per game this year, yeah. it's still good for 10th because scoring is up so
there
much league-wide.
Yeah.
What a crazy type of deal. But, yeah, you know, and the Cowboys were 11th last year in scoring defense. They switch out the coaches. They're doing something different. They let Byron Jones go. Next thing you know, they're 28th. So they could snap back to it, but it's a long way to jump to there. Coming up next in the G-Bag Nation. Crazy sports news. What Charles Barkley is suggesting is the best way to distribute the virus relative to pro sports. It's next in the Nation. Charles Barkley might have said something here that will offend more people than he ever has before. We'll see how the news cycle transpires. He was making a point that the athletes should get preferential treatment for the vaccination. And I thought he's probably going for the angle of providing entertainment or they're an escape or... You know, they are the most important cog in a multi-billion dollar wheel, and you need to keep that spinning for America and for the economy and all that. But nope, it was significantly different than that. Here's what Charles Barkley said on TNT that's generated a lot of conversation.
We need 300 million shots. I've given 1,000 to some NBA players.
What about NFL?
NFL, I'm just going to raise it. NFL players, hockey players. Listen, as much taxes as these players pay, let me repeat that. As much taxes as these players pay, they deserve some preferential treatment.
For life and death?
Yes.
Okay, so Kenny, you hear the Jet chiming in there. He was like, man, I'm not sure we can go there, Charles. I'm not sure. So he was, disagreeing with Charles. I think the problem just on the premise is the idea of valuing life based on dollars or tax dollars is pathetic, and it's not a good way of governing, and it would never fly. Beyond that, what would you do with all the other rich people who pay a bunch of taxes? Do they
yeah,
get,
you would just be
do they
saying
get to
that
jump
the vaccine,
line as well?
The vaccine is going to go in order of salary. Like, that's
yeah.
what you would be doing, and that it's – I mean, honestly, it's – one of the biggest problems probably in the world is that that's how most things go.
Yeah.
There is an issue of scarcity in the world, and to the people who have the most, they're not affected by it at all. And then to give them preferential treatment in every way also, like, I don't know, to me that's ass backwards. I think you should be going the exact other direction. Like, it'll be great when I'm able to get a vaccine and when it's my turn, that'll be sweet. I can't wait. But the idea of being like, well, I'm either important or I pay more taxes than somebody. No, give them the order of who they're going to save the most, who them the most.
I totally like how capitalism works, where you're incentivizing people to make the money. And if you have the money and you can buy the products, then, you know, you get preferential treatment in the marketplace with the money that you've earned. But as a way of governing, I think that was a pretty big shock to the system. I mean, now, the other thing it does. I heard Mike talking about this earlier. Athletes are already getting preferential treatment all the time when it comes to medical care. You know, as shocking as it was from Charles, you can buy justice in America. How much money you make, you can commit a crime and do zero. You could do no crime and get life. Mindset does manifest across the Western society in a lot of ways. And there are perhaps even more egregious benefits that you get than what even Charles is accepting in our real world anyway. So it's actually not that ludicrous to suggest it from Charles. It's just, it's saying the quiet part out loud, I think. Brian, what do you think here?
Yeah, I just wish that, you know, we're this great nation and we have this ability to come up with vaccines, but we can't get it to everybody fast enough. And there's so many talented men and women around this country that, you know, there's got to be a way that, you know, that it doesn't come down to, okay, because of your status or your wealth, that you're going to get a shot first or second or third or whenever. I would just like to believe that there's a way to do this, that we can all get vaccinated. It's alarming to hear problems with supply chains and not enough here and not enough there and all that. And it makes me pause to think that, man, how are we here right now? We have this opportunity to get this out and get it out in a massive way, but we're just falling so far behind that now, you know, we have commentators say, well, hey, stick the athletes first and let's go. Whereas, hey, listen, if we had better supply chains and ways to get it to everybody, then you wouldn't have these kinds of discussions. I think that's the biggest problem. It's not that Charles is saying that the athletes deserve it. I think we all deserve the shots, but these supply chains are just not getting to the people fast enough. And as this great country we are, we got to figure that out first. And once we figure that out, then I think everything else will take care of itself.
You know, I think you got a good point there. What are we, a month in or so to the vaccine? I did see Texas. We hit 1 million people vaccinated, or at least that have already had the first shot. So we're doing a dang good job. But
there's other places that aren't. And that's the problem is if we had better distribution of it. You know, you could read about this. I mean, there's people that around the country. And hey, being a Texan, yes, I'm so happy that, you know, that we can get it. My mom got vaccinated the other day. I'm grateful for that. But I'm also saying though that, you know, to me, we have it now, but we just don't. The plan doesn't appear to be working in a way that the whole entire country is getting vaccinated in a timely manner. And if we had, then, you know, maybe there would be more back to normal way of living here. If it's a life and death call, you know, that's where I disagree with Charles. I think that the people, we need to identify who needs it first. The healthcare workers, people like that, identify those people, take care of them, and then work from there. I think that's the most important group that we need to work with first, not the athletes.
Totally. I think travelers too. Like, I can get athletes in here. You don't have to say because they pay the most taxes.
Right.
People traveling for business, you should be in it because you can take it from one state to the other. You know, yeah. Now apparently there's such a finite amount that they can't expand it, but those guys would be next. Right now, if you're over 75, by the way, you can go to Fair Park.
That's what my mom did.
No appointment needed.
Yeah, that's what my mom did.
No appointment needed, at least today. This event's going until 5 o'clock, and maybe they're going to continue it over the weekend, depending on how much they have. But there's ways to get it done.
I saw something about what was going on at Fair Park. I forget what day it was, maybe last weekend, where, you know, the people who had an appointment, they were supposed to come through, but apparently people were, like, sharing information or links about it, and basically they weren't able to vaccinate hardly anybody that day because it was a madhouse.
Yeah.
So it's just we as humans can't just accept this is the order. This is how it's going to go. And when it's your turn, you may have a turn.
Yeah, you got to be 75 or over,
right,
or in that first group, the A group. And I'm not exactly sure, I guess, you know, high risk or something like that. But I thought it was cool to see 1 million people get it. We got about 29 million people here in the great state. So about 3% of us are getting vaccinated up.
But I'm thinking about the country and I'm thinking about the world too. I'm thinking about, you know, if let's do the best we can to, you know, we got brilliant men and women here. Let's figure these supply chains out and make sure the people get taken care of. I think that's the most important thing. I will say this about Charles and though about what Mike was talking about athletes. Yes, I've lived this because I remember having players in for physicals and things like that, crowded waiting rooms, waiting to see a doctor. We immediately go walk in, we check in, and boom, we're into the doctor's office. And there was a lot of times I couldn't even make eye contact with the people sitting in the waiting room because I'm thinking like, okay, we're not going to be waiting here. We're just going to get our, my guy is going to get in there. The doctor's going to see him, and then we're going to be out. You know, and but there's, I'm sure there's people that were spending 2 or 3 hours a day waiting for the opportunity to see the doctor that we were trying to see, and we saw it in a matter of minutes. So there is some, there's treatment that way.
Yeah, yeah, you can absolutely jump the line, and that's a little less life and death.
Right.
And, you know, you're talking about schedules and convenience, and maybe the team is paying for that, you know, preferred status with the doctor or something like that. It's a little bit more understandable. With Charles, you know, he's been doing this bit since he got on TNT, probably 15, 20 years long, where he says, you know, I became rich, and I started worrying about taxes and all that, but he just seems to go overboard on subjects that can be incredibly offensive, you know, to people. And you're talking about like life and death type of stuff, like cracking jokes about the gals in San Antonio having too many churros. That's funny, you know, but when you're going shock jockey and talking about real life and death stuff, I thought, you know, maybe for one of the few times, you know, Charles went, you know, over the line. But he's just such a popular broadcaster and such a hit on that show. I don't think there's going to be any real consequences for him. When we come back, G-Bag Nation, we are into the 4 o'clock hour. Found a chart that defines just how dominant Luka has been on defense. Are you buying the dominance to this extent? It is next in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.